parishes in the area as of Friday. And it says, we have got to put aside any sense of territorialism, of jealousy, of boasting, and we have got to work together. This body of Christ was meant to be in harmony. And the gifts that we have, we need to offer. And the gifts that we don't have, please offer them to us. And I made a listing of 10 of the best ministries we have. You better believe this was one of them. And I said, you need to be able to share with your parishioners what's going on good, what we're doing well, so that they might come to know. But don't stop with your parishioners. You know, we got a program coming up, Alpha Program. I know Bob's going to be a part of that. The whole idea of the Alpha Program is introduce people to Christ. And it's not supposed to be a recruiting for the Catholic Church. It really is. I just kind of let you know about this Jesus. Okay, that we're at that step right now. And we don't put it in the bulletin. We got to get out there. We literally have to go visit people that we don't always visit. We have to do it. Do you think I got Chula because Chula's cute? My dog? No. I got Chula so I had an excuse to talk to the neighbors. She's the great evangelizer. I meet a lot more people with that dog than I've ever been able to do with my nice personality. We got to get out there and talk to people. And eventually the conversation, because he is so core to our meaning of our lives, eventually it will lead them to Jesus. We've got to start somewhere. As we look at all the forces that are against us, we are not the only ones out there. There's a lot of competition for the attention of the people. And we have to make it our priority because they never will. Who's going to make the children moral and virtuous and holy and good? Do not wait for anybody else and do not blame those parents. We're done with that. That never works. Stop saying it. It's our turn. We have to do it. You know, it's just always been this way. Kids don't like to listen to their parents all the time. Parents eventually get frustrated because they feel like they're the only ones. And all the other kids get to do this, Mom and Dad. Why can't I? It's because the rest of the community has abandoned the mission. We need to accept this now. And to say, I don't know if the parents are to blame, but I'm not looking for who to blame. I'm looking to say, what can I do? And I know it feels overwhelming, like there's a tidal wave coming over us. Romans chapter 8. What then shall we say to this? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him for us all. Will he not also give us all things with him? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Is it Christ Jesus who died? Yes. Who was raised from the dead, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or the sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We're not going to lose. Okay? We're not. But we got to start fighting. Not in the way the world does. We have to bring into the circle those who weren't here before. I love that lady that was doing the wedding over there, and she heard the music, so she came right over. I saw the bride standing outside of her door, and she's tapping her foot, and she's singing the Lord. She knew this song. But I never met her before. So this is where I'm finding, you know what? I can build a big wall around us. We could sit inside of here and say, God loves us. But God says, if you love me, feed my sheep. I mean, if you do, then get out of the walls. Go out into the world and share the good news. What I'm looking at is a bit of reform. Reform of the church. These are kind of dangerous words. I realize as I say them, boy, there's been a lot of people put to death over those words. Reform. The church needs reform. I am discouraged by how many have done so little. I am discouraged by how many are content with the little they've done. I am discouraged by those who blame everyone else. I'm discouraged by those who say things to me so that I would work less because I make someone look bad. All the people who say slow down. How can I slow down? We kind of assume somebody else is running. Who's taking the baton? I don't want to fill you with panic because there is no defeat going to happen here. I want to fill you with a sense of we're on the winning team. And what's going to happen at the end? If we don't have our eyes on the goal, we're going to lose it. We're going to lose the sense of the goal and we will lose our place in the race. The book of Revelation, chapter 19. He just went through the entire story of the defeat of the devil and the dragon and the fire and the ends of the world kind of stuff that nobody likes to read this book for. But here we come to the end. After this, I heard what seemed to be the mighty voice of a great multitude in heaven crying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for his judgments are true and just. He has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants. Once more they cried, Hallelujah! The smoke from her goes up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshipped God, who was seated on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah! And from the throne came a voice crying, Praise our God and all you his servants, you who fear him small and great. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the sound of many waters and like the sound of mighty thunder peals, crying, Hallelujah, for the Lord our God the Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to be clothed with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So when you hear that word harlot, I mean, we don't use that kind of word today. When we do, it's usually in a bad context. It's talking about the world. The worldliness of it all. That God offered everything to the world and the world threw back his love. When it talks about fornication, he's talking about a sense of something unholy that was supposed to be holy. I wanted to give you all of this beauty and all of this grace, and instead, you turned it around into a disgrace. And when he talks about the Lamb, who is now the bridegroom, He's talking about what could be. Now, the church is constantly in need of reform. Why? Because we are supposed to be the holiest ones on the planet. Are we? This has been the complaint of the world since the beginning. You know why I don't like those Catholics? Has nothing to do with their doctrine. It's that they don't follow it. They don't live what they say. What can I say? If we could do that perfectly, pretty much everybody would join us. And that would be the end of the story. But we are a church of sinners. But we don't ever give up. As I often tell people, if you are a saint, you might want to keep walking. But if you're a sinner who wants to be a saint, welcome to the club. This is the church for you. If you are perfect, I don't know where you're going to find a seat. Because we're the imperfect, humbly asking for mercy and grace. And if that's you, why don't you sit with me? The church could be this bride, could be this beauty, could go back to the holiness it was meant to have, and we could have the wedding feast. But we got to invite people. And the way that we invite them is not by proclaiming we're better than anyone, but by saying, I need to introduce you to the bridegroom, to Jesus, because he's changed my life. Some will turn us away. Some won't believe it. Some we don't have much influence on. But there's 51% of Twinsburg who doesn't go anywhere. If you're wondering, the statistics say that 22.3% of the parish boundaries are Catholics. And I did the math. That would mean that we would have 2,700 households registered in the parish. We have 1,500. So that means 1,200 families who consider themselves Catholics are not registered in our parish. All right? It also means that on any given weekend, we should have around 7,000 people. Probably closer to 5,000 if the households aren't quite as big. How many do we get? I mean, I know the COVID's got us all kind of locked up and all that, but before that, it was 900 to 1,000. That means 80% of Catholics who claim to be Catholic, who take a census and said, absolutely, I belong to the Catholic Church, aren't here. 80%! And those are the good guys. I think we got to do something about it. We call it the new evangelization. We have to start by talking to the people who are already here and getting them to realize this is primary to our identity, of our mission as the church. We need to get the world to know Jesus Christ. And then Jesus takes it from there. If they don't know the Holy Spirit, how can they follow the Holy Spirit? Our second role, after talking to the people who are already here, is then talk to the people who are here, but not really involved. It hasn't become core to their identity. And then there's this third group of people who are so distant from it, they're not even sure what it means that they are Catholic. And the last group, I never met Jesus. How can we do this? God gave us gifts to do this. He stacked the deck. I'm going to give you gift after gift after gift after gift. You have everything you need to accomplish this mission. You are not being given anything less than this. Change the world. But God's going to do it through you. All you got to do is say yes. All right, Lord, what do you want me to do now? And as we begin to sense the Holy Spirit's leading us, take courage. You're on the winning team. I know it seems daunting. I have a hard time sleeping at night. But I invite you to think about the end goal. Don't get discouraged. Bishop Seurat was getting discouraged. I'm so glad he didn't give up. He was getting discouraged because of the inner church telling him it couldn't be done, telling him just do the status quo, telling him just put the wall around us and let us be happy, forget the rest of the world. But he was made a cardinal because the Pope recognized this is the reform we need. Help us, Lord, to be the church, to be the bride that you deserve. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sorry for such